For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. It's crunch time in college basketball. 16 men's and women's basketball teams remain. We're going to get each tournament down to just one. BetOnline Sportsbook has you covered with all the odds, props, promos, and parlays during this final 2 weeks, and if you use our promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, you can get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you click the link in the description to this episode. Bet online, where the game starts. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, however and whenever it is you may be listening. Thank you for stopping on into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast, live on the Believe Podcast Network. Except it isn't live because it is, as always, a podcast. And podcasts aren't live. You can listen however and whenever it is that you so choose. They're podcasts. Podcasts don't require, you can listen at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 8 p.m., 11 p.m. Doesn't matter. You can listen however, whenever you so choose. According to my count, it's Monday, March 25th, 2024. But it probably isn't that according to your count. And no matter what, we appreciate you stopping in however and whenever you might be listening. We have got a fantastic show coming at you today. Last week was all March Madness, okay? We broke down the bracket Monday. Razor Rosenthal gave you all your first and second round prognostications on Wednesday. We had our March Madness watch party on Friday. We've had all sorts of March Madness broadcasts up and down this past couple weeks. And by the way, there's been a whole bunch of stuff related to the NFL draft. There's been a whole bunch of NBA playoff news and notes that we haven't gotten around to recently. There's so much going on in the world of sports right now. If my math is correct, we had 32 men's college basketball games in their NC2A tournament. We have had 40 women's college basketball games. We have 8 more coming up today before we've recorded this fine and dandy podcast. There is so much going on in the world of college basketball, plus NFL trades, plus NFL draft, plus NBA playoff push. There's only like 12 games left in the NBA regular season. The NBA regular season ends, if my math is correct, in 21 days, which means we have a total of at least 9 podcasts before we get to the end of the NBA regular season. We have NBA regular season, NFL news and notes. At the time of recording, 72 college basketball games going on. And we are about to get hijacked for some goddamn Major League Baseball. Do you know how crazy a story you have for Major League Baseball at this point right now to take over this podcast? But that's exactly what's going to happen. You know why? Because Jedi Master Shohei Ohtani, who at this point, if this were a Star Wars baseball universe, we haven't traveled to a galaxy far, far away. So maybe I have to explain the joke to people a little bit. Baseball is basically just Star Wars. And for me personally, it was my childhood Star Wars because it was something that was really, really cool when I was 8, 9 years old and has just provided diminishing returns ever since. Like for Gen X, their version of Star Wars was awesome, and then it's probably just been diminishing returns ever since. For people who are millennials, the prequels were their peak Star Wars enthusiasm, and it's just been diminishing returns ever since. For my generation, it was supposed to be those three Disney movies that were made as like the 7, 8, and 9 movies, but those didn't really pop off the same way as the previous movies did in the Star Wars universe, so I didn't really get that Star Wars hype as a kid, but I got baseball, and baseball is basically just Star Wars. You got the Dodgers, they're the Empire. Padres, my favorite team, they're the Resistance. You've got all sorts of fun casting characters that we have in the movie. At this point, we've cast Shohei Ohtani as the Jedi Master who's mastered both sides of the Force, so I guess he's kind of like Mace Windu in that sense. But whatever, we're just kind of putting it all together in our Star Wars universe. Maybe he's the Anakin Skywalker, I don't know. But Shohei Ohtani is like our Jedi Master at this point, and he just got caught up in a giant gambling scandal over the week, which I just want to take 30 minutes to take a deep dive into. But before we do that, we have to play our Star Wars parody of baseball to kind of set the vibe right. And I was good. I'm full stop. Opening day is on Thursday in baseball. Technically, the baseball season's already started because the Dodgers and Padres played 2 games in Korea at 3 a.m. last week. I didn't watch either of them, but I think they split both games in the series. And baseball, our baseball Star Wars saga is right now on episode 5. Like last year was Empire Strikes Back. And fortunately, the Empire didn't win all the way because the Arizona Diamondbacks knocked him out of the playoffs. But now the Empire and their unprecedented resources got Shohei Ohtani, which was perfect for the narrative sake of this Star Wars saga, that Anakin Skywalker goes over to the dark side, and now Ohtani becomes essentially Darth Vader, threatening to impose an imperialistic government across the galaxy, and only like the good guys have the chance to take him down. Like, narrative sake, Ohtani was playing this perfectly to continue Star Wars saga into Last Jedi episode 6. And now what we have is a gambling scandal that throws the whole thing in flux, and I don't know how to create the perfect Star Wars universe. So instead, let's just play Empire Strikes Back Rejoiner to set the mood as we travel to a galaxy far, far away. And trust me, there's a lot of layered jokes that if you're a baseball fan, you're really going to enjoy. Episode 5, The Dodger Empire Strikes Back. After 5 days of battles, a perfect 13 innings from the bullpen fleet, and help from a rally goose, Captain Juan Soto and the San Diego Resistance blew up the Holy Dodger Empire's 111-win Death Star, restoring a balance to the Force. After their incredible victory, the Resistance discovers they still have much to learn after a journey to the Dagobah system and a visit to Master Harper on the swamp planet known as Philadelphia. Meanwhile, the Holy Dodger Empire grows in wealth, pillaging the backs of Diamond and Purple Rockies once more for resources. The Empire has removed Captains Trey and Justin Turner while banishing Cody Bellinger to the north side. Master Cohen and his Met Army of Queens continue spending their unprecedented resources in an attempt to maintain control of their empire state along the eastern seaboard. In addition, Master Cohen and his Met Army of Queens, along with the Holy Dodger Empire, prepare themselves for the impending arrival of Master Ohtani, the fabled Jedi Knight from Anaheim, who legend says has the ability to master and control both sides of the Force. Despite their successes, the Resistance is losing resources and ground, trying to compete with the tyranny of the Holy Dodger Empire. They've fled to the backs of Diamond in order to re-coordinate their efforts for the following season. In their time of need, Captain Juan Soto enlists help from a former Resistance ally, Fernando Calrissian, also known as El Niño.
The Resistance also pays a hefty price for Xander Bogart's defection from the once great Boston Empire. With the help of Captain Soto, the return of El Nino, Xander the Carpenter, Joe Musgrove, Jedi Master Manny Machado, and Supreme Closer Lord Hader, the Resistance knows this season will be their best chance to dismantle the Holy Dodger Empire once and for all. All right, we have traveled to a galaxy far, far away, and we have set the mood to talk about Jedi Master Shohei Ohtani and the incredible gambling scandal that broke last week while the Dodgers were getting ready to play the first two games of the season in Korea. A celebration of Shohei Ohtani, who is no longer... We talked about this last year, and Jeff Passan made a great story and a great point. Shohei Ohtani has played the peak of his Major League Baseball career. Those 2.5 years between the summer of 2021 and when he had Tommy John surgery last year, those like 27 months, 2.5 seasons, that is the best baseball we have ever seen because of what Ohtani does on both sides, pitching at the level of a number one starter who makes the All-Star game for 2 years in a row and being the best hitter in all of baseball who leads the league in home runs and leads the league in RBIs and hits triple-deck home runs in the home run derby. Like, that's peak baseball right there. The best baseball player any of us have seen in our lifetime. The pinnacle of his career has already passed us by. The best years of his career are there, playing both sides of the ball. Doesn't mean he won't be awesome and the best player in baseball for many years to come, but his peak just passed by because he's about to have a second Tommy John surgery in 5 years. He's going to get to the Dodgers, and he's probably going to pitch, but also might be a reliever. He'll adapt and evolve, and he'll be a Hall of Famer if he retired tomorrow. But like the prime of his career just went past. And so now what you get is him cashing out on the back end with the incredible $680 million contract that we talked about all offseason, and... $680 million in deferments. He's making $20 million, $700 million total, but the $680 million in deferments, and we talked about all that stuff all offseason long. But the thing that I think is so interesting now is that this was supposed to be a coronation and a celebration of Shohei Ohtani, and now he's embroiled in a scandal that leads off ESPN on the Thursday before March Madness, the number one story on the day of men's March Madness kicking off. And you have Shohei Ohtani, at this point, getting ready to debut in Los Angeles next week, plays first set of home games in Los Angeles, and now this is the whole story around it. And what's interesting is that even if he wasn't going to provide the best baseball of his career, it was still an event. It was the defining moment of what would become one of the best batting lineups ever assembled in baseball going into a season, and more hype around the beginning of a season for the biggest free agent that has ever existed in the sport, who happens to go to the Los Angeles Dodgers, the team with the most money and the team with the most incentive to bring him and make him an absolute star on a international level in Major League Baseball beyond all the crappy shit that the Angels were doing. This was a coronation of Ohtani. This was the biggest moment we've had since the World Baseball Classic Championship last year, where Ohtani took the baseball world by storm in the middle of all of that 2.5 years of what will be the prime of his baseball career. Even if he wasn't going to pitch, it was still going to be an amazing, amazing story that came into fruition at this point. And now you have the giant scandal here, and there's so much that's happened right here. There's so much that's gone on, and fortunately, Tisha Thompson of ESPN, who was the first person to be reporting on this story, she laid out a very neat and organized timeline for how we got to this point as of a week ago Monday to this morning Monday. And I'm going to acknowledge here that as of 4:30 a.m., West Coast time on Monday morning, Shohei Ohtani has called a press conference where he's going to talk tomorrow about everything that's happened with the interpreter. Ohtani, I presume, is going to have another interpreter at this point, but Ohtani's going to have a press conference. We don't know the details of what's going to go on at that. Baseball has apparently opened investigation. We don't know if anything else has happened here, but this is as of 4:30 a.m. Monday morning on March 25th. And we're going to go all the way back to March 18th to kind of outline what was happening in terms of the story coming to light and all the developments that have happened since. To go back further in time to give you some original context. So there is a bookmaker who is based out of Southern California, Los Angeles / San Diego, and was kind of going back and forth between the two places. And the Southern California bookmaking operation was led by a guy named Matthew Boyer. And Matthew Boyer had been running this gambling operation for years. In California, sports gambling is illegal in the first place, but even if sports gambling had been legalized, he wasn't necessarily an accredited business. This is more of a bookie who was taking bets and paying them out in a way that is like technically illegal. But when it happens on a smaller scale, you don't really see a lot of these cases getting prosecuted. Like, smaller scale bookie operations don't usually draw in federal investigation. What drew some ire to this guy is that this guy was bringing in like millions of dollars over multiple years, and he got so big that the federal government kind of got wind of his operation and started doing some sniffing into some of the details around it. I think there was some tax issues involved with it as well. Like, he was not paying taxes despite having these giant sums of money that were being transferred to his account. And a federal investigation starts looking into this, and they start finding some wire transfers between this guy, Matthew Boyer, and Shohei Ohtani's bank account. And when Shohei Ohtani's name ended up being on these wire transfers, and they had documented cases of that, and that kind of set off some alarm bells there. And so there's an interesting case where, as the feds are investigating, these wire transfers happened in September and October of this previous year. So 2023 is when these wire transfers take place. And the feds are investigating, and they find this documentation, and kind of some alarm bells start to go off when they see Ohtani's name connected to these wire transfers. And so they don't have much other context beyond that. And that's when ESPN, who's already doing an investigation at this point into the story, like, ESPN has been getting information from the wire transfers. ESPN finds out about this detail later on. So ESPN's running a story on this based on the federal investigation into Matthew Boyer. ESPN gets contacted about the connection to it. I don't know how they get their information or sources that ended up connecting ESPN to that story, but the feds find the details of the wire transfer in September and October of 2023, that somehow that information from the feds ends up in the hands of ESPN. ESPN starts looking into the story. And last week, on Monday, South Korea time, so we're going to operate under South Korea time for all of the events that happen in South Korea. So Monday morning in South Korea, which is middle of the night in California, I guess it would be afternoon, 8:30 a.m. in South Korea is 4:30 p.m. in California. So Sunday afternoon in California, Monday morning in Korea. Here's how Tisha Thompson outlines the first detail that comes forth after, at this point, if we're building out the timeline, wire transfers occur in September and October of 2023, two payments of $500,000 each from a bank account connected to Ohtani by name to this guy Matthew Boyer and his bookmaking operation. Feds are investigating it. They find it sometime in the last 5 months. And then at some point, the information from the feds gets to ESPN, and ESPN starts doing some investigative reporting on this story. Now we fast forward to Monday, March 18th in South Korea, and this is Tisha Thompson outlining the timeline that ESPN has. According to a Major League Baseball source, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, while in South Korea preparing for the season opening series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and San Diego Padres, learns something is happening concerning Ohtani. A source from Major League Baseball would later say MLB started seeking answers from federal authorities in California early Monday, and they got no response. So baseball's been tipped off Monday morning that something is happening here. Fast forward to 4 a.m. in South Korea Tuesday morning, which is middle of the afternoon Monday, March 18th. So this is 4 a.m. Tuesday, March 19th in South Korea. ESPN contacts Ohtani's agent, Nez Bolello. He's with, I believe, Wasserman Sports Management Agency, I believe. But they contact Ohtani's agent to ask about information it has found, including that Ohtani's name appeared to be on two wire transfers totaling $1 million. Transfers had been sent in September and October to Southern California bookmaking operation of Matthew Boyer. ESPN receives no immediate response. So now you have ESPN trying to reach out to Ohtani's camp to try and find some information about what's going on here. Fast forward 2.5 hours. So this is 6:30 a.m. Tuesday in South Korea. And by the way, if you want to read any of this, it's linked in the description of this episode if you want the timeline of events as well. A crisis communications spokesman for Ohtani, who had just recently been hired, responds to ESPN. So within 2.5 hours, presumably, of ESPN reaching out to Ohtani's agent, Ohtani hires a crisis communications spokesperson to navigate the waters with ESPN. Over the next several hours, at 6:30 a.m. Tuesday, the crisis communications spokesman and an ESPN reporter talk at various times as the spokesman says he is getting up to speed on information from the Ohtani camp. So they communicate for a few hours, figure out details, things like that. Fast forward to 9:30 a.m., Tuesday, March 19th. Spokesman, for the first time, says Ohtani paid the debts on behalf of Mizuhara, who is Shohei Ohtani's former agent. Ipe Mizuhara, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Ipe Mizuhara said that Ohtani paid the debts on his behalf. He says Bolello, the agent, went to Mizuhara, who finally came clean to him and said that was the truth, and that Ohtani told Bolello he had covered Mizuhara's debts in $500,000 increments. It's not clear whether the spokesman is saying Ohtani communicated with Bolello through Mizuhara, because again, Ohtani is using an interpreter, and the interpreter is the one who is under question here. And the spokesman quotes Ohtani as saying, quote, "Yeah, I sent several large payments. That's the maximum amount I could send, was $500,000. The ESPN reporter, knowing the spokesman worked for Ohtani, wants to hear it from Mizuhara. The spokesman says he will work on arranging that. At 10:05 a.m. Wednesday morning in South Korea, so fast forward 24 hours, the Ohtani spokesman confirmed to ESPN that the gambling debt amounted to at least $4.5 million, which ESPN had already learned from other sources. Because again, if we go backwards on the timeline, these two wire transfers happen in September and October of 2023. The feds are investigating the bookmaking operation. They get wind of this information. We believe the information from the feds gets to ESPN. I guess it's California feds, but still, federal investigation information then gets to ESPN. ESPN starts looking into this operation, and it confirms that this gambling debt that had been paid off by the interpreter was equal to $4.5 million. So then we go forward another hour and a half. This is Wednesday morning in South Korea at 11:30 a.m. Mizuhara, the interpreter, speaks with an ESPN reporter by phone for 90 minutes from South Korea. The interview has been arranged and is attended by the Otani spokesman. Mizuhara tells ESPN that he met Matthew Boyer at a poker game in San Diego in 2021. Atlanta Braves infielder David Fletcher, who was friends with Otani when they played for the Angels, had previously told ESPN he was present at the poker game, but he said he did not introduce the bookie and the interpreter. Fletcher and a source with knowledge of Boyer's operation told ESPN that Boyer gained admittance to the poker game at the team hotel through an acquaintance of Fletcher. David Fletcher told ESPN he had met Boyer once before while playing golf and that he had never placed a bet with Boyer's organization. In an ESPN interview, Mizuhara says he started betting with Boyer on credit shortly after they met, placing wagers on several sports, but not baseball. One of the other reports detailed some, I believe it was international soccer, basketball, NFL football, things of those sorts. Mizuhara said he had previously bet on DraftKings and didn't know Boyer's operation was illegal. At the time, his salary with the Angels was about $85,000, and by the end of 2022, which is, again, if we're going backwards a little bit, just over a year after he had met Boyer, at the end of 2022, he had lost over $1 million and was borrowing money from friends and family. Quote, I couldn't share this with Shohei. It was hard for me to make my ends meet. I was going paycheck to paycheck because I kind of had to keep up with his lifestyle, but at the same time, I didn't want to tell him this. He describes his relationship with Otani, who he first met in 2013, as brothers, and says he spends more time with Otani than with his wife. Mizuhara's debt ballooned to $4 million by early 2023, he tells ESPN, and that when he says he went to Otani for help, he says he feared losing Otani's trust, and also feared for his safety, that someone might come to his house. Quote, I explained my situation, Mizuhara says, and obviously he wasn't happy about it, but he said that he would help me. Asked if Otani knew the person owed the money was a bookie, Mizuhara said his friend, quote, didn't have any clue. Quote, I just told him I needed to send a wire to pay off the debt. If he didn't ask, he didn't ask if it was illegal, didn't question me about that. Mizuhara says that after Otani agreed to pay the debts, the two of them logged into Otani's bank account on Otani's computer and sent 8 or 9 transactions, each at $500,000 over several months. They added loan to the description field in the transaction. Mizuhara estimated the final payment was made in October. Asked by ESPN if he thought he would be putting himself or Otani at risk by asking Otani to pay the debts, Mizuhara says, quote, I don't think either of us thought about that at the time at all. End quote. Mizuhara declines to tell ESPN the full amount he lost gambling, but confirms it's at least $4.5 million. He calls it, quote, embarrassing. Quote, my wife doesn't even know about any of this until even right now, he says. He says he felt uncomfortable and guilty for a few weeks after asking Otani to pay back his debts, but that Otani moved on. Quote, it was hard to see him, Mizuhara says. He's a great guy and pretty much he went on with his life like nothing ever happened, end quote. Asked if he intended to pay back Otani, Mizuhara said he told his friend he would. He adds that Otani has never gambled and, quote, thinks gambling is terrible, end quote. Quote, he sees that people, teammates, would be gambling all the time and he'll be like, why are they doing this? Gambling is not good. He would make comments like that. People would ask him to go to casinos on road trips, and he would never go. No, he's not into it. End quote. So, that is an extensive breakdown of what was going on at the time of the gambling debts and paying them off, according to Mizuhara, who was relied on for much of the interpreting during the original questioning of Otani and the original questioning of the spokesman who was working as a crisis management counsel for the Otani camp. Now, it's important to keep in mind that that's the account from Mizuhara, because if that were the story in and of itself, it would be pretty crazy, but it would outline in pretty concrete detail how all the money got paid. Granted, there's some specific details in there and things of those sorts, but Mizuhara is also aware of what ESPN knows and how those details are going to end up becoming public. And what ESPN has already confirmed to them that they know about the details. Again, there are some things he wouldn't explain, but outlines pretty clearly like, okay, here's how I lost all this money. At a certain point, I had to pay it back on credit. And Otani was kind of the cash cow that he was using to try and pay back his debts. The morning that Ippi Mizuhara gives his testimony to ESPN, that night, the Dodgers play their first game of the season against the Padres in the taking Star Wars to South Korea. And after the game, the Dodgers have a clubhouse meeting where the team owner tells the players a negative story is about to come out, and Mizuhara has to stand up in front of the team and apologize and say that he has a gambling addiction. Andrew Friedman, the Dodgers president, who's like the best executive in all of baseball, stands up and says that Otani had helped to cover Mizuhara's debts, and Otani didn't understand exactly what was being said in the team meeting, because this is the account according to ESPN. On the way back to the hotel, Otani starts asking questions about what had been said in the clubhouse, the Otani spokesman told ESPN, and his representative said that when Otani told them he didn't recognize Mizuhara's version of events. According to Dodgers officials and Otani's spokesman, Otani's representatives had continued to rely on Mizuhara to communicate with Otani while they were dealing with the situation, and Mizuhara didn't tell Shohei about everything that had gone down the day before. According to Otani's spokesperson, Wednesday night was the first time that Otani learned that the $4.5 million was missing from his account. So because on Wednesday morning Korea time, Tuesday evening in California, on Wednesday morning, when ESPN speaks to Mizuhara for over 90 minutes and he talks about that detailed account, he doesn't then relay it to Otani in the 12 hours between when he has to give that account and when the game is played that night. So Otani's learning in real time what is happening, and the team just assumed that Mizuhara would fill him in that he had to talk about that account. And Otani's learning in real time, according to Otani spokespeople, Otani's learning in real time that Mizuhara has a gambling addiction and is going to be speaking publicly about it, which is crazy, crazy to think about in real time. So then we fast forward to Thursday morning, just past midnight. So this is about 2 hours after the game is finished in Korea time. So this is Thursday, March 20th in Korea. It's Wednesday in California, but again, we're operating under Korea time. This is Thursday, March 21st, Wednesday, March 20th in California. Otani spokesman person advises ESPN not to publish the story. Quote, Ippi was lying, he said. Shohei didn't know. In a rapid series of phone calls that follow, the spokesman emphasizes that all communication between Otani and his agent had gone through Ippi Mizuhara. So Mizuhara was purposefully leaving out information about the whole account, which is crazy to think about, that this whole scheme was concocted and he's the only spokesperson between Otani, his agent, and potentially with ESPN. And then this escalates to where the Otani spokesman says that Mizuhara needs to explain the situation to his family and that his attorneys are preparing a statement to give in the morning when ESPN publishes the story. And these are contradicting details that ESPN has had, and so ESPN is trying to gather all this information at the same time. And then this is when we get the first statement from ESPN releasing the story and the Dodgers giving the press saying that he had been fired and that none of this... Ohtani had been the victim of a massive theft. So this is like the afternoon on Wednesday when this whole story breaks, and now all of a sudden everything has caught fire. ESPN rushes to publish the story. The spokespeople with ESPN finally are able to contact Mizuhara, where he denies the previous statements that he had given on Wednesday, Korea time, and now the next morning is saying that Ohtani had no knowledge of his gambling activities, debts, or efforts to repay them, and he said he had not been told to comment, presumably by Ohtani's people, after everything that had gone down. And so here's the final text exchange that Mizuhara has with ESPN before he goes silent. Mizuhara, obviously this is all my fault, everything I've done. I'm ready to face all consequences. ESPN, when did Ohtani become aware of the situation? Mizuhara, they told me I can't answer anything. ESPN, Ohtani's representatives, question mark? Are they representing you? Mizuhara, no. ESPN, are you taking any form of payment to tell me these things? Mizuhara, no. Have you made any kind of agreement to say these things? ESPN, Mizuhara, no. You're doing this of your own volition and free will. Mizuhara, yes. ESPN, did you bet on baseball? Mizuhara, no. Did you lie to Shohei? Mizuhara, yes. ESPN asked if he had ever purposely misinformed Ohtani while interpreting the issue the reporter is asking about. Mizuhara says, no, I have never done that. And then it finishes with the ESPN reporter texting him, did you take the money from Shohei's accounts without his knowledge? And that is the final statement that Mizuhara gives, because he does not have any response after that fact. And now, this is when the story goes public, and everything that's happened since then, with allegations that Ohtani has been gambling and possibility that he was the sole interpreter and therefore Ohtani wasn't properly communicated information. The Athletic story that came out on Sunday that details him lying on resumes and saying that he worked with the Red Sox even though he had never worked for the Boston Red Sox, and that he had graduated from UC Riverside in 2007, and UC Riverside has no documentation of Ipe Mizuhara graduating from their school or any sort of information that details how Mizuhara had ever attended this or had ever graduated from the school, according to Sam Blum of The Athletic. And so you have all these crazy accounts, all these details. I'm sure there's more information that's going to come out after we have the press conference with Ohtani on Monday, which again, we're recording this before we get to the press conference Monday morning, so I'm sure there's more information that'll come to light as a result. There's just so many winding twists and turns that have created for an absolutely batshit crazy story that I'm sure we will do a follow-up podcast on, either part of the Monday, Wednesday, Thursday routine that we do, or as part of a Wired Up, whenever some sort of crazy new development comes about from this insane, insane story involving gambling and the best player in all of Major League Baseball, a week before his coronation, a celebration of his career, which was to be his first game playing for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Episode 5, The Dodger Empire Strikes Back. After 5 days of battles, a perfect 13 innings from the bullpen fleet, and help from a rally goose, Captain Juan Soto and the San Diego Resistance blew up the Holy Dodger Empire's 111-win Death Star, restoring a balance to the force.
After their incredible victory, the Resistance discovers they still have much to learn after a journey to the Dagobah system and a visit to Master Harper on the swamp planet known as Philadelphia. Meanwhile, the Holy Dodger Empire grows in wealth, pillaging the backs of Diamond and Purple Rockies once more for resources. The Empire has removed Captains Trey and Justin Turner, while banishing Cody Bellinger to the north side. Master Cohen and his Met Army of Queens continue spending their unprecedented resources in an attempt to maintain control of their Empire state along the eastern seaboard. In addition, Master Cohen and his Met Army of Queens, along with the Holy Dodger Empire, prepare themselves for the impending arrival of Master Otani, the fabled Jedi Knight from Anaheim, who legend says has the ability to master and control both sides of the Force. Despite their successes, the Resistance is losing resources and ground, trying to compete with the tyranny of the Holy Dodger Empire. They've fled to the backs of Diamond in order to re-coordinate their efforts for the following season. In their time of need, Captain Juan Soto enlists help from a former Resistance ally, Fernando Calrissian, also known as El Niño. The Resistance also pays a hefty price for Xander Bogart's defection from the once great Boston Empire. With the help of Captain Soto, the return of El Niño, Xander the Carpenter, Joe Musgrove, Jedi Master Manny Machado, and Supreme Closer Lord Hater, the Resistance knows this season will be their best chance to dismantle the Holy Dodger Empire once and for all.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.